The music business was mean. Mean like Elvis when he needed a sandwich. The road to fame was littered with broken dreams, broken hearts, and actual litter. And the air was thick with unanswered questions. In a grimy office above the noise and filth, two men worked tirelessly to solve these mysteries. Their names? Tony Blackburn and his young apprentice, Ricky Wilson. The sign on the frosted glass door? Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
Right, back in the office, Tony.
That was a bit loud, wasn't it? Sorry for shouting at you there.
That's quite all right. Woke me up. I was just having a little power nap there for a moment, to be honest with you.
I'm enthusiastic. I'm enthusiastic today.
I've been up all night actually researching. So that's the only reason I'm just having a power nap, which, you know, I do from time to time for about 5 minutes or so. Then I'm back there fighting and solving myths.
I'm away, as you know, on undercover.
Yes.
In the sun. Yeah. And I have actually had a couple of day naps, but I've been trying to work out the ideal amount of time for a nap. You're saying 5 minutes does you good.
Well, I only sleep every day for roughly about 4 hours and not necessarily in a row. You know, I don't need a lot of sleep. I'm very lucky like that. I wake up normally every hour or so.
I wake up quite a lot, but that's because I'm...
How often do you wake up during the night then?
I'll go for between one and two wees a night. So that's one and a half wees.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I don't do a half a wee. I'm not weird. But I've been having naps, and I read about it. As you know, I do a lot of research. And 45 minutes is the right amount of time to have a nap. So I tried that. But then you'd set your phone for 45 minutes time, but you don't fall asleep straight away. So then I thought, I'll set it for 50 minutes, give myself... I was thinking about it so much I couldn't nap.
Well, when you start worrying about the fact you can't get to sleep...
I know.
It makes it even worse, doesn't it, really?
Oh, there's your doorbell. You know that doorbell you keep talking about?
That's the ring doorbell. Well, I tell you what, it very rarely is a human being out there. It's normally a cat or a dog, or it could well be a fox, a young fox that we have going by.
And it's like a zoo outside there. They're trying to prank you by ringing your doorbell and running away.
I don't know what they do. It's like being in the... a Kruger in South Africa. It's just unbelievable out there. It's unbelievable. I live in Hertfordshire, and there are things swinging from the trees, you know, monkeys and things like that.
Right.
Stuff. I just find it very difficult. I have to wait for a time to get to the car. You know, I go out there and it sees me, and then suddenly a fox comes by.
It's like Jumanji.
And then I venture out, and then suddenly there's a cat, and it's scary. It's absolutely scary. I don't know what to do about it. So I have that ring doorbell there to warn me about these things.
Yeah. So if we hear it, if we hear it again, we know there's danger.
Danger,
Tony Blackburn.
Absolutely danger.
Yeah. Okay. But there's lots of wildlife around where you are, and I've noticed
a lot of wildlife. Yeah.
And horses.
We got a horse. We got two horses at the bottom of the garden. I can't see them because we've got a hedge there.
Mm.
But sometimes they peek through. You know, one of them gets its nose there and parts the bushes there and has a look at us.
Here's the thing about I like horses, and I think I like them because I'm terrified of them, because they're big, aren't they? You know, if anything's big and could hurt you, then, you know, let's say like Richard Osman, the TV presenter.
He's very big. Yeah.
Yeah, he could hurt you if he wanted to, but he doesn't, which makes me like him more, a little bit like horses.
And he is very friendly, and he's got a very kind face, like a horse actually. Although he's not a horse.
Have you been on Pointless?
I thought you were going to say I've been on Richard Osman.
And now coming around the corner, it's Tony Blackburn riding Richard Osman. Richard Osman, the final furlong. Here we are, Tony Blackburn riding Richard Osman.
And I tell you something, Ricky, I've been playing a really great video game called June's Journey. I don't know if you've heard of it. Somebody recommended it to me and I downloaded it, and I've had a lot of fun with it. It's really good. I would suggest you try it.
I've heard about it from my underground sources, and it's June's Journey, and it's a hidden object mystery game. Now, I like that, like a puzzle, and it's set in the 1920s, isn't it, like we are?
It is, yes. Yeah. Well, I'm, of course, in the 1910s. You're in the 1920s.
And would I be correct in saying it's free on mobile devices?
Amazingly, it is free. I tell you how you do it. You download June's Journey from Woga for free from your app store or on your device or desktop from Amazon Or indeed Facebook as well. So you've got a lot of options there.
Well, we need a bit of downtime because, you know, it's better, you know, we're working solidly on the Pop Detectives, but this is kind of a bit of downtime, but a fun, but still in keeping with what we do because it's detectorism, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's Is there such a word as detectorism?
There is now.
It's a great word.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great word. And it is. It's a detectorism game. And you look for clues, and if you can't find the clue, there's a sort of a spyglass there that will direct you to what you're looking for. So all in all, it's a bit of fun.
So the company that make it, they're called Wooga, and they've made all sorts of brilliant games. But this one is a detective story taking place all over the world, back in the height of the Roaring Twenties. Hey, we're in the Roaring Twenties now, aren't we?
Oh, we certainly are.
In the second wave of the Roaring Twenties. Yeah. Don't say second wave. So it's a murder mystery, and the main protagonist is June Parker.
She's
on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. So, I'm in.
Well, I'm already in. I've already played one of the games, and it's encouraging me to play more of these sort of games as well.
I know. Next thing, we'll see you in a VR headset, all the gear, stumbling around Soho.
That's it.
Absolutely. So download June's Journey from Wooga for free from your app store on your mobile device or on desktop from Amazon or Facebook.
The rain beat down like Ginger Baker on a snare. But in they came, ready to make people sing. Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
Let's get into this week's case, shall we?
Yes.
By listening to whatever we've got on the answer phone. So can we press play on the answer? I think it's with you.
Yeah, let's get into it now. We want to get into this.
Okay.
Interesting myth.
Ricky, Tony, I don't think there's any denying that David Bowie was some sort of rock demigod, but there's talk going around that he had the power to predict the future, and some say was even trying to send us messages about the rise of Kanye West way back in the 70s. This is a big one. I trust you two with getting the answers. Good luck.
Right then. Interesting. So Bowie. We haven't touched on Bowie in our investigations yet, and he's a great source of mythology.
Yeah. I met David Bowie.
Did you?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Oh. Tell me more.
In the 60s it was, when we used to have record companies used to hold receptions at lunchtime for various artists, and I went along and I met David Bowie, and he was waiting to hear if one of his records had gone into the charts. And I made the classic error of saying to him, one of my favourite records of yours was The Laughing Gnome.
Oh, he wouldn't like that.
And he didn't sort of like that so much. He wasn't bad about it. I mean, he didn't have a go at me, but I think probably it wasn't one of his favourite records, although it was very popular at the time.
It was very popular, and I think a lot of artists have one particular record that they've done which people hold up as an example of them being not that great.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking to Sandy Shaw in Madame Tussauds, actually. Funny enough, we're doing some...
You sure it was her? You sure it was her and not a waxwork, Tony? I remember talking to Winston Churchill in Madame Tussauds the other day.
I wasn't quite sure when I went up to her, so I prodded her, and she did move.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I said, I started talking about Puppet on a String, and she took a great exception to that.
Really?
And didn't like it. It was a big record of hers. And
when I think of Sandy Shaw, I think of Puppet on a String.
And she used to sing without shoes on, of course, which I thought was very strange as well.
It is.
And
funny.
Dangerous as well.
If you're dangerous
on a stage, you don't want to get a splinter in your foot.
So, Tony, what we know, is that a theory has surfaced on the internet in various forms over the past 10 years, and that he can predict the future, Bowie. So
yep.
In 1998, he launched a website, BowieNet, and was interviewed by Paxman on Newsnight about it in 1999. Now, he said it was going to take over the world, the internet, and you should be involved in it. And Paxman kind of like laughed this off, thinking...
Yeah, he did.
Paxman said about the internet that it was just a tool, and Bowie steps in saying he doesn't agree. And he went on to say, we're on the cusp... This is quoting now, Bowie. We're on the cusp of something exhilarating and terrifying. The actual context and the state of content is going to be so different to anything we can envisage at the moment. It's going to crush our ideas of what mediums are all about. And he's right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And he said really the barriers between creator and audience will be further eroded and it'll give windows into our idols' lives. That's Twitter and Instagram all over, isn't it?
And also, you remember that video he did, Ashes to Ashes?
Yeah.
He's holding something that looks very much like, spookily, like an iPad.
I watched it this morning. About 25 seconds in, he holds up an iPad. And that was in, when was that? 1980.
Unless he was holding just a packet of A4 paper or something like that. I don't know. But it looked like an iPad, didn't it? Yeah.
There's also, which we need to explore, the big question about whether he predicted Kanye West, the international rap star. Now, this is where it gets a bit blurry, but we'll look into that later on. But for now, here's my problem with the fact that if I said to you, oh, in 100 years' time, let's think of one, we'll all have artificial blood, right?
Yeah.
Now, in 100 years' time, they'll be listening to this podcast, because by then it'll be world famous, and they'll go, look, you know, Ricky Wilson, he saw it coming, artificial blood. I didn't see it coming. I just thought of something that might be invented one day.
No, I mean, I get your point there. I mean, I would like to... I was sitting in the garden the other day looking at a particularly attractive pigeon we have, and he flew up to a branch of a tree, and I thought, that would be lovely to be able to do that. Just get up off the seat and fly up to a branch. Yeah. I think it's a great idea, that.
Okay, well, now we've got all these great ideas, we should probably pass them by our first interviewee. And I've got a guy here on the phone, and I think we need to find a bit more about why Bowie might have been so good at predicting the future. I've got just the expert. He's called David Robson. Sounds like a stand-up guy. He's an expert in super forecasters, people who can predict world events, and a Bowie fan to boot.
Caller joining. Caller joining.
Come in, David.
Hey, thanks. It's completely my pleasure to be here.
Oh, no, we love having an expert on, especially in something which is intriguing to us. And now, super forecasters, what are they?
And how many of them are there? Are there a lot of them?
I mean, so the idea of the super forecasters really came from this amazing experiment in the US. It was like this four-year tournament where they just got normal people to sign up and to predict the course of world events. And they had to be very precise. So it was very precise questions like... who would come the highest in the Olympic medals tables, or, you know, what were the chances that North Korea was going to take part in some kind of atomic test over the course of the year? And they would have to give percentages of, like, how confident they were that their predictions were right or wrong. And the super forecasters were the people who scored the in the top 2% of all of the participants. Now, what's amazing about those people is that they actually weren't kind of professional political pundits. They were just like, you know, a local pharmacist or a school teacher, but somehow they were able to kind of see what was going on in the world, and their intuitions were often very, like, completely spot on.
Do the police use these people to predict what's going to happen or not?
You know, I don't think the police do, but I think governments have been becoming increasingly interested, because actually what they'd found was that their intelligence agents that were meant to be making these predictions were often no better than chance. One of the researchers said that, you know, like, you'd do better to get a chimp to throw a kind of darts at a dartboard to kind of predict world events rather than using these experts. So these people are of intense interest to lots of different bodies.
So you're saying it's a little bit more like just seeing minute little differences that show them clues to the future.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I think what they're especially good at is kind of looking at lots of different sources of data, you know, lots of, they read very widely, and they can balance up that information. And a lot of it is about questioning their own assumptions about what they think is going to happen and kind of updating it as new data emerges, and only coming to an answer when they have amassed a huge amount of information on what should be happening.
Do you think it's more people being open-minded than actually being able to predict the future? In other words, somebody says, you know, we're going to have, in the old days, we're going to have colour television. And somebody says, oh, no, you never have that. But they predicted it was going to happen. And, you know, satellite broadcasting, you know, we're all going to have dishes on our roofs. And a lot of people are not open-minded towards these things. So is that what super forecasting can be as well?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I would say open-mindedness is the biggest trait, actually, that they share, is this kind of open-mindedness and curiosity. You know, like you said, you might have just never kind of thought about colour TV and you just don't really like change. But the super forecasters are completely different. They would just be thinking about it in a much more curious and open-minded way.
Now, you, David, are a great David Bowie fan. You would say he was a super forecaster, would you? I mean, the internet, and Kanye West was going to be big. I mean, what's all that about?
So I'd say I'm, quite dubious about the Kanye West kind of prediction. I think, like Ricky said, like sometimes you can just kind of take a wild guess, or you can see coincidences when there's really no meaning there. But I do think that his, when he spoke about the internet in the early 2000s, you know, he did predict so much of what we see today. And I think that really came from this kind of open-minded approach. And, you know, that he was really interrogating what the technology could provide. And so his predictions there, I think, were so close, like foreseeing the streaming of music and social networks. He was so invested in the idea that he was obviously, like, really looking into it in a lot of detail and kind of feeling his way through it. And all of the information that he kind of gathered as he was doing that would have put him ahead of the game, ahead of other people. Actually, experts who look at kind of forecasting often talk about the advantage of having skin in the game, that kind of investment that just makes you a bit more committed to being rational about what you're predicting rather than just going on a kind of hunch that might be right or might not be.
What do you think about artificial blood?
Do you
think Ricky's onto something here? Or I mean, I personally, I don't know about you, I've got enough blood. At the moment, I don't need any artificial blood, but do you think there's room for that?
I think he's spot on there. Like, as far, you know, because I've also worked as a kind of reporter for, like, New Scientist magazine, and they always have new ideas, new stories about artificial blood, which would be incredibly useful, you know, especially if someone's got a kind of rare blood group, which means it's really hard to find a transfusion, then actually that would be a huge advantage.
See, I go even further than that, the artificial blood. I go further than this because I believe, you know, I'm 77 now, believe it or not. I know I look about 20, but I'm about 77 now, and things begin to sort of not work very well. So I think in the future, you know, suddenly I think, oh, I'd like another hand or I'd like another leg. And you'll just be able to go to a shop, possibly, or you might be delivered by Amazon. And then you stick it on yourself. I mean, this is what I believe, you know, rather like a robot. And if you're on Prime, you get it the following day.
Just kind of upgrade your body whenever you need to.
Exactly. Yeah. What do you think on this?
Well, you know, there's a lot of cool research actually looking at growing new organs in pigs that humans could then use as transplants. So growing a new heart, so that using your own genetic material, so it would be tailor-made for Tony, and then you would just kind of harvest it from the pig and put it in your body, and like
absolutely,
you could have the you know, heart of like a 20-year-old.
But say for instance, Grace, you know, let's take Grace or Debbie. Debbie might prefer your head to mine, so we just swap heads.
Yeah, I think then you'd get into, there'd be a thing in the future which legally you wouldn't be allowed to grow someone else's material. Because that'd be their property. It'd be their intellectual and physical property. Because
so I quite
I'd
like
make
your
that
brain,
illegal.
You see. I quite like your brain.
Well, no, but then you'd be me.
That's true.
Now, David, what would it take me and Tony? Do you think we have it in us to be super forecasters? And how do you know that?
I do actually have some questions, or just one question, that can test if you would have the kind of skills. And it's embarrassingly easy, but like lots of people get it wrong. So
don't say that, David.
Ask Ricky first.
Well, okay. But Emily's father has three daughters. The first two are named April and May. What is the third daughter's name?
Emily.
Ah, see, you got it, yeah. So about 70% of people say June because they just see the pattern and they kind of... It
really?
And they just go with their gut instinct.
Hold on a moment, let me just think about that for a moment. Emily. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
Thanks, yeah.
So if you get that wrong, you're what people call, it's a cognitive miser. And the idea there is that you might have kind of mental resources. You know, you might have a high IQ, but you're so used to just going on your kind of gut instinct, you're just kind of coasting, basically. Whereas people who do well on that kind of question, you know, they're just kind of looking at the details a bit more carefully and thinking about it a little bit more carefully before answering.
That's really interesting, because I was thinking about me and Grace earlier today, because we'd been doing laps of a pool. I'm on holiday, by the way.
Grace is your fiancée, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've been trying to lose a bit of weight for the wedding. I've been doing laps, and she doesn't think about stuff as much as I do all the time. Mm. And when she does laps, we try and do 60 a day. She can count from 1 to 60, and she remembers exactly where she is. But I get lost all the time on how many I've done. And I do it in tens. I'm not, you know, crazy. She does 1 to 60 and remembers the number. But I get lost because I start thinking about other things. Mm. And then she was saying that makes her cleverer. And I was arguing that it makes me cleverer because my mind's always thinking about other things. What do you think?
This is nothing to do with super forecasting. I just want someone else to...
It's a lack of attention span. I've got the same thing. I get bored with things very quickly.
But is a lack of attention span a good thing?
Well, I would say...
It is, though. It's attention span, isn't it, David?
Yeah, I think it is attention span. So I don't know if it's a question of being intelligent or not being intelligent, but I do think that maybe is associated with creativity. They've actually shown that people with shorter attention spans tend to be more creative because they're always kind of, their minds are going off in different directions. They're daydreaming a lot. And then, you know, that is how you kind of form these weird connections that actually help you to create something new and different.
I think it's opening up your mind as well, allowing your mind to open up. I find it's not so bad now, but I've found with a lot of older people, they will not open up their mind to things that are possible. I think anything is possible. And it's rather like looking at Star Trek and all these things. Me up, Scotty. Why not? I think there's a possibility. You know, it's boring. You're in Mallorca at the moment. Is that right?
Minorca.
Well, Minorca, sorry. And, you know, it's the bore, it's the travelling. So why can't we just
teleport?
Say, well, I want to go there. And we appear there, don't we? Mm. That's possible for the future, isn't it?
But I think before teleportation, they'll probably have something similar. I think before you can transport particles, I think there'd be a way probably to transport consciousness into something else that you can walk around in rather than... I'm doing it again, David. You could have a robot or a synthetic in Africa and you could say, I'm going to Africa, but you wouldn't be. You'd be transporting your consciousness to the thing rather than actually going there physically.
Yeah, or like using like really immersive virtual reality. Yeah. So it feels like you're there and you're getting like all of the sensations, like maybe the smells and stuff as well, not just the vision.
Tony's point about science fiction is it good? Because these people that wrote, let's say, Star Trek in the 60s, would you call them super forecasters or were they just creative?
I would say they were creative, but you know what I would find interesting would be if you'd ask them to make kind of actual kind of realistic predictions of the future at different points and how accurate they would have been.
I do find it interesting when you watch scientific, like sci-fi programs set, made years ago, but set around now. And you think to yourself, actually, it's better now than they predicted it would be. You know, even my teachers at school said, well, during maths, you're not going to be walking around with a calculator in your pocket all the time. And they're wrong. I've got a torch, a calculator, all my music, everything's in my pocket.
Quite seriously, I love technology. I love the future. And I would love to be not my age now. I'd like to be younger because I think what is coming on in the next 10, 15, 20 years is going to be amazing. I love the idea of driverless cars, for instance. And I always predicted that. I predicted that a long time ago, yeah.
Well, the thing about cars is another one coming, David. Brace yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon in the future, cars, having a car in, let's make it quite short, 25 years' time, having a car will be the equivalent of having a horse now. It'll be something you do for fun and costs you money, but is impractical.
So what do you think will replace cars then?
Artificial blood.
Yeah. I just think none of us will actually in about 20 years' time, probably 15 years' time, even 10, who knows, actually want to own a car. All you'll do is you will sort of phone up for a car and it wants to pick you up from there to A to B and it will turn up driverless.
Yeah, yeah.
What if you get in your driverless car and you say you've had a few because you're allowed in a driver's car. Right. And you stumble out the pub and you get in and you say, home, and you wake up in Hove.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be sorted out eventually, won't it?
Okay.
They'll be sorted out.
Okay.
But I see the problem there, yes. Yeah. I went to Cambridge instead of Coventry once.
Did you?
On a gig, yeah. And I couldn't find the theatre. And I found out I'd gone to the wrong place. It's... But so it's the sort of similar thing, isn't it? But if I'd had a driverless car, that wouldn't have happened.
So let's get back to Bowie because he's the subject of it.
Yeah.
So David, do you believe that Bowie was, in the grand scheme of things, could be labelled a super forecaster?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's difficult, like you said, to kind of base it on one kind of anecdote. But I do think, like, looking at this kind of interview he did with Jeremy Paxman in the early 2000s. You know, he just seems to be showing all of these traits that we do see in the super forecasters. You know, he talked about his kind of magpie curiosity, how he would become intensely interested in one thing and really research that and then kind of quickly move to another one. And that's absolutely what we see with the super forecasters. What allows them to amass so much information on a topic and to kind of balance up different opinions. You know, we know he was open-minded as well.
Are you a super forecaster, David?
Am I? No, I'm afraid not, actually. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, he said June, not Emily.
I actually did the first time I heard that.
Did you?
Yeah.
But we do know that from Bowie that he was, you know, we've got stories that he travelled with several hundred books, you know, yeah, at any one time. And that's probably why I was thinking, I wish I could just have a Kindle. So I think that his super forecastation, there you go, as a word that'll be in the future, was backed up by the fact that he was constantly trying to educate himself.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, recently they published his kind of list of the top 100 books and, you know, the huge variety there. So a lot of fiction from diverse authors, but also, you know, books on psychiatry. There was The American Way of Death by Jessica Mitford, which might seem like a niche choice. It's like an investigation into the American funeral industry. You know, he seems to just have been so interested in such a wide range of subjects. And I think that was really important for his art, but also for his kind of different projects, his Bowie Net and all of these different kind of things that he was working on that just maybe just kind of helped him to predict the future a little bit better than the average person.
There you go then. I think, Tony, we have what we need from David Robson. So thank you very much for speaking to us
today, David.
Oh, totally, my pleasure. Thanks.
And let's, what was the name of your book again?
The Intelligence Trap.
I knew it. The Intelligence Trap. And out now. And if you want to read more about what David Robson says, then you get the book. But thank you very much, David. Really enjoyed speaking to you. And have a great afternoon.
Thank you. You too.
It was a complicated business, but they knew the nuts and bolts of it. Plus the screws and washers and wingnuts. Tools in hand, here come Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
So David Robson there, I loved that chat, Tony.
I enjoyed it.
I'm sorry if I was talking too much, but I was so interested in what he had to say. I learned a lot. I feel like a more rounded person. And I encourage more stuff like that in our investigations.
We do, it's fun. But at the same time, we do learn a lot.
Talking about fun, we should probably explore this more wilder myth in his super forecastation, Bowie's, about Kanye West, that in a few ways, Bowie knew about the rise of Kanye. This seems ludicrous. Bowie released an album, Ziggy Stardust and Spiders from Mars, and on the front cover, he's underneath a sign that reads K. West.
And the shop actually sued them, didn't they? I think I'm right in saying, because they were furriers. Is that the right word, furriers?
I think they were furriers, yeah.
Could it be that Kanye West heard about this and just changed his name? He wasn't, I mean, it's not his real name, Kanye West,
The story goes that the album came out in the 28th of July 1972, and the first track was called 5 Years. Now, 5 years, almost to the date, 5 years and 2 days after the release of that record, Kanye West was born. So that's looking into the future, isn't it, Bowie?
Certainly is.
Yeah, but we need to look more into this because I'm sure someone's got a lot more. I mean, there's so many ways you can link Kanye West to Bowie. We need an expert.
Do you have anybody who would? I mean, you're great at finding the.
I believe
the right
I do.
People.
Yeah.
Have you got somebody?
Just looking through my Rolodex here, I found a guy. Right, he's the host of Watching the Throne, which is the Kanye West podcast and a podcast all about Kanye and his exploits. And the guy's name is Chris Lambert. And he should have a lot of answers.
Do you have a number for him?
Yeah, I do. I won't read it out.
No, no.
But I'll just type it in now. I'm doing this on my laptop.
Yeah. Okay, let's see if he's in.
Delete. Too many numbers there. No, got it.
Excellent.
Caller joining.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, Chris, and your 6-month-old dog as well.
There. That's right. Yeah. Archer the Corgi.
Tony can tell how old the dog is just by looking at it down a podcast Zoom call.
Oh, there you go.
And by the pitch of its bark.
That's a fine voice.
He's a fan, Tony. He's a fan.
Oh, lovely. Does he also like David Bowie?
I think he does like Bowie. He's just like, it sounds like bone. It's close to bone. Like...
Let's get into this then. Bowie and Kanye, what do you know?
Well, so I first heard about this mystery back in, I think, 2016, 2017. But as far as I'm aware, it dates back to even the mid-2000s when Kanye first started to get going. And it's just blaringly on the cover of Ziggy Stardust, you have Kay West, the name right there. Which caused people to automatically start making a connection just between, oh, how funny, you know, Kanye West is a artist that's getting more popular now. And there you have it on the cover of this album that's talking about the Starman. And then what, the 5-year prophecy, like he will arrive in 5 years. And Kanye was actually born 5 years and 2 days after the album released, which, when just talking about coincidences, those two are so massive and strange that, I don't know, when you hear about it, you're just like, how odd.
Well, it's a clear-cut case for me. We can end it there. Thank you very much. No, let's
but Kanye deep. West, that's not his, is that his real name, Kanye West?
Yeah, Kanye Omari West, which his mom, Donda, said, or at least Kanye said that his mom said, means only one in Swahili. But I was reading online and it talks about more of a communal aspect, like let's come together, togetherness, flourishing, even let's come together still has some meaning in terms of a prophetic force that will come and unite the people.
So although this obviously is clear cut that he did predict Kanye's birth, are there any, can you think of any, or are there any of the documented links between Bowie and Kanye? Or Kanye. How does he say it himself?
I think Bowie, like, I've heard people, like, close to him. I've gotten to interview his cousin. He was saying, like, Kanye, and then other people that have worked with him say Kanye. Like,
it's similar to Bowie or Bowie, because he spent his whole career being either Bowie or Bowie to different people. So Kanye or Kanye had a similar problem. There's another one, Chris.
Have you met Kanye West at all?
I haven't gotten to meet him. I have been at the Jimmy Kimmel interview that he was at, and got to be at two of his concerts. So multiple shows. But
he was going to become president, and then 11 days later, he withdraws from the race, which I found a little bit surprising.
Isn't he back in the game?
Even then, there's confusion about it. Like, Kanye is so mercurial that even when he announces that an album's going to come out, fans at this point are just like, will it? Will it? And then he announces his presidential candidacy, and 11 days later, you hear he dropped out. And then within 24 hours, you hear he filed the paperwork. At this point, all the articles today are just like, is Kanye still in the race? Is he not in the race? But that Gemini personality that keeps you on your toes.
I have a little picture here to show you, Chris and Tony. I know it's a podcast, but it's Googleable.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of me when I was a little bit fatter.
Wow.
With Kanye.
Whoa.
Now,
where was that?
That was at the GQ Man of the Year Awards, and I look a little bit more pleased to be with Kanye than Kanye does to be with me, which is it's a running theme with all my pictures with celebrities. But I've met him twice actually. The first time he gave me a high five.
I'm a little bit. That's very impressive actually.
I never met Bowie.
Well, I did. You see, I met Bowie. Yeah.
No, he's an incredible person. Done incredible love thing. I think I recognize some of his trainers behind you there on a rack. Are those some Yeezys back there?
Yeah, definitely have some Yeezys back there.
Yeah, I couldn't get hold of them. The love and money. But
140 million record sales, 21 Grammy Awards, and 3 Brit Awards. Mm. I mean, he should have a bit of faith in himself, shouldn't he? I mean, he's done pretty well.
He really has, which I think is probably another of the connections between him and Bowie, is just the fact that both have pushed the envelope, which seems to have really brought them a lot of fame and acclaim and reputation.
With with all greatest respect, Kanye has shown, especially recently, a devil may care attitude to his fans and testing whether they still have loyalty towards him with the music that he makes, and not just making the College Dropout Part 30. he does push it, so he is testing his fans somewhat in their loyalty, and they seem to be following him. So it's working much in the way as it did for Bowie when he changed like a chameleon.
Very much so. And it's funny, just even looking at the Ziggy Stardust theory, right? And the Starman. Kanye, in the last few years, has really started calling himself an alien, which I think the first time it happened was actually in 2016 in a Vanity Fair interview. He talked about how he was going to laser people with alien eyes when he was talking about some critics. And that was after Bowie's death. And ever since then, he has been more and more on an alien kick. He dressed in an alien costume for Halloween. He named a pair of his new Yeezys Alien. I did an interview with this producer, Seven Aurelius, and he talked about making a song and taking it to Kanye. And as Kanye was listening to it, he was describing this theme park and other things he was working on, a theme park, but kept using the word alien to describe it, and even had a song on his scrapped album Yandi that was called Alien, where he said, "I'm an alien."
Does he listen to your podcast? Have you had a reaction from him at all or not?
He follows us on Twitter and has retweeted us a few times, but I don't know if he has listened to the show. His cousin said that he was a fan of the show.
Have you ever asked him for an interview at all or anything like that or not?
We tried. We got a email to somebody that he was apparently working with doing PR and press, and we had sent an email to them, but didn't hear anything back. So hopefully one day.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big step to be a fan and making a podcast of someone so unreachable. Because if you'd made a podcast about, let's say, Tony here, to be the recipient of your podcast, he would have been a lot more accessible to interview, maybe on a daily basis. So
I'd have come round to your house personally.
Yeah. So choosing Kanye, it was always going to be difficult to have, you know, from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Yeah. But he does seem incredibly complex, and it is kind of like taking the baton from Bowie. So I do think there is a link between their two careers, which makes it even more interesting with the conspiracy theories.
I just find it strange that he could have predicted Kanye's birth 5 years before he was born. I mean, I find that just a bit weird, don't you, Ricky?
I do find it weird, but when you look into it, there's lots of clues. Clue number three, let's say. After Bowie died in 2016, Kanye was quick to post a commemorative tweet on Twitter just 1 hour after the official announcement of Bowie's death. And he wrote this: "David Bowie was one of my most important inspirations. So fearless, so creative. He gave us magic for a lifetime." And this is when the conspiracy theories really started taking off. On Bowie's final album, Black Star, there are some more messages. And Bowie, maybe in his final album, is saying that he's being replaced by Kanye, passing on the baton. Is that something that, Tony or Chris, do you think holds water?
No.
Right. Well, there we go then. There we go.
Also, yeah. He owns a ranch, doesn't he? And he has hundreds of people, livestock on there. And you can just go there and live there. Is that still happening?
I don't know about being able to go there and just live there. I do know that he wants to build some kind of, like, housing on the ranch. It's huge. It's like 10,000 acres. So there's a lot of space, and he's trying to build like affordable housing and do like a smart city or a Yeezy city. And people have had positive and negative takes towards that.
Because on the positive, it can be like, you know, social housing, good for people. On the negative side, it screams cult, really.
Yeah, that's a bit of worrying. He also owns a couple of tanks as well. I mean, what's the point of that?
This off-road equipment that he has, there's a number of other things that are just really, like, military grade that he's like, you know what, this is fun, this gets me around the territory and terrain.
I love that video of him and his dad driving around in that mobile.
Yeah,
I really like that video. It made me think to myself, that's why you want to become a billionaire, so you can drive around with your dad in a tank.
And he has 10 of those.
As a fan, do you, when he comes out with all this stuff, because he does come out a lot with mad things, even the presidency, do you embrace it and go, yeah, go for it, Kanye? Or sometimes do you think to yourself, oh, Kanye, I'm really trying to big you up here, and you keep doing mad stuff. So do you like that, or sometimes do you feel a little bit like he's just making it difficult?
A little bit of A, a little bit of B. I mean, there are a lot of times where, especially in like 2018, where I could understand what he was maybe trying to get at with things that he said, but being like, you can't say it like that, or please don't say it like that, or other aspects of like, I get the broader topic that you're trying to get at, but your specifics are still not right to me, especially when it came to politics.
Do you believe in aliens?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's a good question.
I mean, I can never understand why people find it very odd, the fact that there might be aliens around, because you look up in the sky, and we can't be the only beings, can we, really? So
no.
They probably landed. They probably circled around the world and thought, oh, God, I don't want to land there. And gone away. I don't blame them either.
I go on long rabbit holes into the internet about aliens, and I do enjoy it a lot. But you can convince yourself of anything. I mean, I am convinced that they came down and bred with our apes and made humans. But convinced when I read about it. But then 20 minutes later, I'm a bit like, yeah, it doesn't matter. it doesn't really affect me now what I'm having for lunch.
Yeah, right. So
well, we feel like we've interviewed you about Kanye and we've got the gist of it. I'm curious, I'm going to go on a little limb and say you can draw links between anything if you look hard enough.
Seems fair.
So I'm not sure, Tony, about predicting Kanye West.
I don't think he could have predicted Kanye West being born 5 years before he did. I wouldn't have thought so at any rate. I wouldn't go along on that one, no.
Saying that, Chris, we're going to go down, I think, on our pop detectorism soon, we might go down another Kanye hole. So we'd love to talk to you again if we ever... Let's see how the election goes and whether he's in the White House or not, and then we'll get back to you and we'd love to speak to you again. So thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
And keep those Yeezys clean. They look in mint condition.
Love to the dog as well. He's very quiet.
He's a fan, Tony. He's a fan.
Yeah, he's listening. He's been interested in the conversation.
Thanks Chris.
Putting what's off the record on the record. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
So, Tony, let's look at the evidence, as Lloyd Grossman used to say. So let me
sources he's done as well. Yeah, you ever had any of Lloyd Grossman?
Oh, Lloyd
Grossman,
fantastic. Yeah. Who is
a source like this? Yeah,
David.
What's happened to Lloyd Grossman? I mean, he
must be making millions out of his sources.
Yeah, he must.
A lot of celebrities going to making sources. Have you ever thought of making the sauce?
I'm quite happy with HP sauce and tomato sauce. I don't think I can better that, to be honest with you.
Right, you've got Paul Newman. He made a salad dressing. Goes very well with a butch casserole.
There you go. See, Tony, I knew I'd get a joke in. Before the end of the series, I thought I'd get...
I can't do a better one than that.
Ah, thank you. Where was I? Look at the evidence. Look at the evidence. Now, our super forecaster, he did say that he thought that David Bowie had that quality of a super forecaster. So we've got that. That's nailed. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah. So
I don't agree with the other part.
That he invented Kanye West.
No, I don't. I think that's just nonsense, don't you? But
I think when you start looking for coincidences, you can find them everywhere. Mm. Is that right?
I think we've solved this.
So it's a two-part answer, really.
Yeah,
which
it is a
two-part.
It's the first time we've had that, I think.
Yeah, Bowie was a super forecaster. He could see things coming in the future. But that was a result of not just like some mysticism. It was his vast intellect and research.
Yeah, but you and I are really super forecasters.
Yeah.
Me with the cars and the flying, and you with the artificial blood.
Yeah, artificial blood.
Which I think there's a lot of future to the artificial blood.
I do too. I can imagine, you know, you cut yourself, just pump some of that junk in there.
Oh, I see. You can actually just put...
I'd have it in the fridge.
You keep it at a good temperature, and then you get it out and you... Bung it in.
Yeah, bung it.
Yeah. Bung it in your body.
Yeah, bung it. That can be the advertising slogan.
Bung it in your body.
Yeah. You can do the voiceover if you want.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ricky Wilson's artificial blood. Bung it in your body. It'll make you feel great.
Yeah, you could do a song as well.
Bung it in your body.
Bung it. Bung it in your body.
Bung it in your body. Bung it in your body. Ricky Wilson's artificial blood. Bung. Yeah, it's there. It's a hit. That is a hit. It's got everything to it.
Oh, yeah. We'll stick it on the album. But we haven't told them about the record we're going to make, have we?
No, we haven't. No, it's
because I think sometime next year, Tony Blackburn, you're going to bring out a new record.
You're producing and appearing on it as well.
I'm on the
harmonies.
Yeah, I'm appearing on it. Lots of collabs. Yeah. Maybe some we've collected over this series. Get Kanye on there.
We have a big orchestra, or it would just be acoustic guitar, perhaps.
Well, I know David Arnold, who's a great.
I used to have a dog called Arnold.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you did, didn't you?
Woof,
well,
woof.
He'll definitely do it then. He does songs for the movies. Get him on board. So we'll, and we've got Sean Ryder. He said he'd be on.
My golly, we're building up. We don't need Paul McCartney. Yeah. We don't need Paul McCartney. We can do without him, can't we?
He can do the voiceover for
that's
the ad.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Like going, woo! Hey, everybody out there. Have you heard that Tony's got a new album out? It's really great. It's really gear.
That's very good. That's what you say. That's very good.
Thanks.
Do you do Ringo Starr as well or not? Or does it sound a bit like Paul McCartney?
No, my Ringo sounds a bit like Gary Barlow.
Let's hear it then.
Hello there, Tony. How are you doing? Thomas, the tank engine drove into the station. The fat controller. I can say the fat controller. The fat controller. Hey, I've never had an onion, you know.
If you shut your eyes and I wasn't seeing you now, that is Gary
Barlow.
Gary Barlow.
I've never had... Hey, Robbie, do you want to get back in the studio? let's get this rubber stamp on this then.
All right.
Bowie, super forecaster, yes or no? Case solved? He was.
Case solved.
Did Bowie invent Kanye West? Yes or no?
No.
Case solved. Brilliant. I'm happy with that. That's it, isn't it? That's it for a while, isn't it? Back undercover now. But thanks for listening to Series 2 of the Pop Detectives. We've got one more episode next week, haven't we?
Yeah, the best or the worst of.
I think it's some of. Unheard gems. So let us know if there's any myths you'd like solving. Tip-offs, welcome. Don't protect your anonymity. We'd like to hear from you. Get in touch at rickyandtony.com. Send an email to podcast@rickyandtony.com. Find us on Twitter, Ricky and Tony Pod. That's about it, isn't it, Tony, for today?
Yeah, we'll be back soon.
Thanks for listening, folks. Bye.
Bye.
The music business was mean, but Ricky and Tony could do mean. They were born for it, like a mayfly was born to die at the end of the day. They slammed shut the filing cabinet, pulled the cord on the Venetian blind, threw on their trench coats, and headed out into the rain. Until next time.
Bunging in your body with Blackburn.
Bunging in your body.